You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Football Writers Association podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of the Premier League this weekend. Dave Kellner in the studio, and I'm joined by Northern Football correspondent of the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, James Ducker, who's on the line right now, fresh from a trip to Belgium to watch Manchester United draw again, James, which seems to be a common theme for United this season.
It does. I don't know if I'm fresh, though, Dave. Not had much sleep. It's a very familiar story, isn't it? Now, United have been in relative control, but unable to kill off a game, and their wastefulness comes back to haunt them. And then you see Mourinho afterwards sort of bemoaning that, sort of that wastefulness that has been an enduring frustration for him all season, and his patience, I think, is increasingly wearing thin with it. And I expect you will see him pretty busy in the transfer market in the summer to try and rectify some of those problems.
He does keep coming out and criticising the players, whether it's Luke Shaw or for their profligacy in front of goal. But the buck stops with Mourinho, doesn't it, James? And too often he makes negative substitutions when they are only winning 1-0 or only winning 2-1, and it comes back to bite him.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. I think there was a little bit of mystification at some of the substitutions last night. I think one of the concerns for fans is that they even though results weren't always going their way, they did seem to be sort of on an upward curve in terms of sort of the way they were playing, and it wasn't United at the sort of fluent best that we've seen in the past, but it was definitely a sort of a move in the right direction, and results were starting to pick up. But in the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks or so, the football has been much more static, much more ponderous, and I mean, maybe fatigue is playing a part in that. They've obviously got a pretty congested schedule, and Mourinho sort of favoured using the same players most of the time, and that tactic is he's starting to see the effects of that now, the negative effects of that. But yeah, I mean, some of his choices of substitution have been surprising. I think there were sort of groans when Fellaini came on last night. I think Rashford was willing, and I thought one of the brighter sparks among some pretty flat attackers, and then he left the pitch, and I'm not sort of sure what message that ends up sort of sending out, but it was a terrible result in terms of the context of the tie. But it was, they should be going to Anderlecht should be coming to Old Trafford next week, sporting a 2-0 deficit. The game shouldn't have been 1-1.
James, just before we move on to the Premier League fixtures, just a quick word on Mourinho and his vocal criticism of Luke Shaw. Has it unsettled you? Do you think it's been verging on bullying?
I think it's been. I don't know if we're quite shocked by it, because Mourinho has a tendency, obviously, to criticise players in public, but I just fail to see really, what's to be gained from it. We don't always know exactly what's gone behind the scenes, and there's often two stories. I mean, we do know is that Mourinho's been less than impressed by elements of Shaw's attitude and application. I mean, it's even gone now, obviously, as far as questioning his football intelligence. But, I would argue that, criticism as fierce as that and as sort of publicly humiliating as that does Luke Shaw sort of no favours. And if anything, if they are obviously looking to, if Mourinho is looking to offload him in the summer, then it doesn't do much to bolster his transfer value either. He's got a player there that he's basically questioning his commitment, focus, ambition and intelligence as a footballer. I mean, if you're one of Shaw's suitors in the summer, you're going to say, well, you know, you don't really rate him much. We're not paying what you want for him. So, I mean, you know, may, you know, on the flip side, is it a last throw of the dice because he feels he's done all he can to sort of try and get the best out of Luke Shaw and it's not working? I mean, I don't know about that personally because he's barely played. And if you actually go back to Van Gaal's first season, he routinely sort of publicly criticised Shaw. And it got to the stage where senior players actually went to Van Gaal and said, look, you've got to lay off this guy. You are crushing his confidence and he's sort of player and he's an arm around his shoulder. And Van Gaal, in fairness to him, he changed tack and adopted a very different strategy. And lo and behold, Shaw kicked on significantly and it actually was United's best player before he suffered that double leg fracture. I think there are players that United have signed in recent years that are just not up to it, that are just not good enough to take the club to the sort of the level that they want to be. But I'd sort of strongly argue that Luke Shaw is. I think, you know, he's 21. Yes, there are weaknesses in his game. And yes, you know, he does need an arm around his shoulder. You know, not all players are mentally as strong as Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But I think a lot of fans saw a left back there they expected to sort of nail down that position for a decade at Old Trafford, and there would be a lot of frustration, I think, on the part of a lot of people, you know, inside the club as well as outside, if he did depart this summer.
Let's talk about the Premier League this weekend, then we'll speak more about Manchester United because they're in action against Chelsea on Sunday at 4 p.m. But we start the weekend with Tottenham versus Bournemouth, Saturday 12:30, and Spurs are 1-4 to win this game. The draw 5-1, with Bournemouth 10-1. I bet Mourinho's looking at Spurs and their setup enviously because every time they have an injury, they've got such strength in depth now. They've got a player to come in and fill that spot. We've seen Danny Rose go down in the last few weeks and Kieran Trippier came in, played brilliantly against Watford last weekend. Harry Kane gets injured. Heung-min Son steps up. So this is a Spurs side that look like they are going places. And when I say going places, going right to the top.
I've been very impressed with Spurs this season. I mean, you make the United contrast. How many of those Spurs players would get in the United side a lot? I mean, you'd take both full-backs, you'd take both centre-halves. I mean, he's all right in the goalkeeper department, De Gea. It'd take Dyer, Eriksen, Kane, Dele Alli. You know, I mean, there's six or seven.
Moussa Dembele as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players that would get in that United side. I think what Spurs have got is that they're a very well-oiled unit. They all know their jobs particularly well. They interchange, you know, superbly. And they are ruthless. They are a ruthless team in front of goal. And they have got players that don't need 3, 4, 5 chances. They've got players that, you know, I mean, Ali's been a revelation this season. Harry Kane just continues to sort of go from strength to strength. Son, like you said, I've been very impressed with. I think he's proved to be a very valuable asset for, you know, Pochettino. And Eriksen's one of the best schemers in Europe right now. And then they've got another array of qualities with Dyer and Dembele and Wanyama. They've got two rampaging fullbacks. You know, I mean, they've got strength and depth in the fullback position and the centre-half position. And they're well-stocked and they're well-balanced. And I think it would be nice to see that team kept together. They traditionally, obviously, always sold their best players. But, you know, if they are serious about, you know, challenging in Europe and having a proper tilt at the Premier League title, then they need to keep that squad together and maybe add another couple of faces in the summer. But they've got a, unlike some of the clubs, they've got a successful sort of conveyor belt of young talent coming through. And I love that Pochettino is committed to that. I mean, obviously Harry Winks has suffered that injury, which is obviously a shame for him, but he has been heavily brought on this season, and there is a lot to admire about him, and you can understand why Spurs supporters are so desperate to ensure he stays there for a good few years.
They probably left it a little bit too late, James, as far as the Premier League title is concerned this season, but if they can keep Pochettino in the summer, should make a good title charge next season. Do you think they win this game against Bournemouth?
I do, yeah. I think they're on a roll, Spurs, at the moment, and They've become a pretty formidable side. I mean, I think they've left themselves too much to do in the title race. I think Chelsea have got the benefit of sort of a week to prepare for most games. I think United will do well to get a draw on them on Sunday. I don't see Chelsea slipping up this weekend. Spurs have just got to keep winning, but and Bournemouth, you know, they have very much ups and downs and stuff. They didn't do too badly, obviously, against Chelsea. Got a couple of important wins against West Ham and Swansea, and obviously I think they've then drawn against Southampton and Liverpool. So they've not actually had too bad a run of late after a pretty poor run of games when they were conceding goals freely. But my concern would be that defence. I just think Tottenham have got too much in attack for that Bournemouth defence, which has been particularly leaky.
What's the prediction?
I'll go 3-1 Tottenham.
Spurs to win the game by 3-1 is 9-1 here with William Hill. Southampton versus Manchester City on TV as well, Saturday 5:30. Southampton 17-5, the draw 14-5 with Man City 3-4. James, as Northern football correspondent with The Telegraph, you cover Manchester United and Manchester City. We've not spoken about Manchester City on this podcast yet. But I suppose it's seemingly a transitional season for City as well, with Pep Guardiola at the helm. He's tinkered at the back and made a couple of few goalkeeper changes throughout this season, and it's not quite worked out for City how he would have liked. And at times, Sergio Aguero, who's been such a formidable striker in the Premier League, has been marginalised as well.
Yeah, I mean, both Manchester clubs, I think, have been a disappointment. It's been disappointing seasons for them. I think, you know, United could still be rectified. You know, if they win the Europa League, a second trophy or a third, as Mourinho called it, with the Community Shield, and it gets.
It's coming to something when you're claiming that one, though, isn't it, James?
Well, to be honest, actually, I've written about this before. That's very much his mindset, though. That he's the ultimate sort of trophy hunter, and every trophy matters for him. And I think that sort of win mentality he wants to sort of forge in his players, and is partly why I think he's been so successful. He doesn't allow any player to believe that games aren't important. But I mean, on City, in differing ways, it's been obviously a disappointment as well. I think you mentioned the goalkeeper situation there. I mean, that is one that has haunted Guardiola all season. And, Joe Hart, has he got flaws? Of course he has. You know, they're clear for all to see. But, you know, is he worse a goalkeeper than Claudio Bravo? I just don't buy that at all. I mean, Guardiola keeps talking about Bravo's ability with his feet. But the last time I checked, goalkeepers also need to use a hand and make saves. And he makes so few of them. There was obviously a pretty straightforward victory against Hull. It was sort of marred, you know, late on really by Bravo failing to cut out what was pretty much a P-roller of a shot. And the last seven shots he's faced in the Premier League now, he's conceded seven goals. And that's an issue that Guardiola is going to have to address in the summer. Aguero has got 28 goals again this season, despite, like you say, being marginalised and having his future being questioned. At least 28 goals now for five of the past six seasons. So Aguero, even if he is marginalised or, you know, has games where he looks a little short, he's still such a potent threat. You know, any side in the Premier League would take him. Most sides in Europe would take him. He's an outstanding striker. I think he has been reinvigorated somewhat by Gabriel Jesus' arrival. Obviously, you know, his injury has ensured that Aguero sort of remained the main man up front. I think he's got 10 and he's past 10 now. And Aguero on his day, you know, is formidable. I've been very impressed with Leroy Sané. I think he very much deserved his place on the PFA Young Player of the Year shortlist. I think he's got a very exciting future. And I think ahead of him, and I think Sané's sort of arrival, you know, had a sort of kick-on effect on Raheem Sterling. I think Sterling's sort of grown in stature as a player. David Silva has been, you know, pretty pretty magnificent for most of the season. De Bruyne has had moments, but actually by his standards, it's probably been a more disappointing season. But the problem is that they've too often been overrun in midfield. He's sort of favoured just one sort of defensive-minded midfielder. And even then, you know, Yaya Toure or Fernandinho, I don't know how much they could be classed as a defensive midfielder. And, you know, in the back line, which is poor, has not been sort of afforded the sort of protection it needs. And, you know, but by the same token, they've brought so many problems on themselves. And I think the constant reshuffling and changing at the back is not helped the situation. I sometimes look at it and think, you know, what's he trying to achieve here? Has he been too clever for his own good? Whereas you look at someone like Conte, and there is a beauty in the simplicity of his structure.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it's very important for players to know their roles and understand what is expected of them. I think at times City players look like they're second guessing themselves. I think there have been bursts that when it has worked, they have been exhilarating at times going forward. There have been some games where, you know, I think certainly like the second half against Barcelona at the Etihad, where they've been absolutely scintillating and played some great football, but it's been too, you know, it's been, for the most part, it's been disappointing. And I think a lot of people feel that, you know, at times are indistinguishable from the Pellegrini era, from the Pellegrini side of last season, which, you know, came with some pretty severe criticism from the City chairman. So, and he won the League Cup, finished fourth on the table, and got to the Champions League semi-finals. You know, Guardiola's going to fall well short of that. So, well, I say he could fall well short. He could win the FA Cup and he could finish third in the league. But yeah, I don't think it's what anyone expected. It was obviously a huge outlay last summer. He's facing the overhaul this summer is going to be the biggest that's ever been undertaken under the Abu Dhabi ownership. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. But a big season for them next year, and equally Man United, big season in Manchester.
Do you think they'll go to Southampton and win this weekend or not?
Well, their away form hasn't been too bad. Cities, they've actually disappointed at home a little bit more. And I think Southampton were pretty good at the Etihad, got a good 1-1 draw. But I still think that the way they play, you know, might leave some space for City to sort of exploit at the back. But then, I mean, I sort of expected United to do a job on Southampton in the League Cup final. And they did get there in the end, but Southampton were excellent in that game. So, you know, we'll have to see. I'd still expect City to edge it, though. I think City will probably finish the season quite strongly. They tend to, the last six or eight games, they tend to sort of finish quite strongly.
3-4 Manchester City to win that game. West Brom versus Liverpool is the 1:30 kickoff on Sunday. West Brom 16-5 to win the match. The draw 11-4 with Liverpool in the betting at 4-5. Since West Brom won against Arsenal, they've lost two and drawn one, and they failed to score in three successive matches now. At this time in the season, everyone says, who's the team that are on the beach that aren't interested or focused? And it seems weird to say it about a Tony Pulis side, but West Brom might be at that stage now where they have nothing to play for, and Liverpool are still looking to consolidate their place in that top four.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sort of Liverpool are sort of discovering a second wind again. They'll probably have too much for West Brom, but you know they're a tough side at home. West Brom, they've got an excellent centre. Probably the Premier League's most underrated centre-half pairing in Gareth McCauley and Johnny Evans. They did extremely well against United at Old Trafford of late. Disappointing results, as you say, against Watford and Southampton. But, you know, they are, you know, they're a difficult side to sort of, you know, overcome. And I don't think the likes of Evans and McCauley and Darren Fletcher and those sort of characters will be have their minds on the beach. I just don't think they're wired that way. I think it's a tricky test for anyone, but you know I think when Liverpool are on it sort of going forward, they are a very, very difficult side to deal with. And I think if Liverpool get their noses in front early on, then I think West Brom will be in trouble.
I think we've talked about squad strength on this podcast in quite a bit of detail today, James, talking about Manchester United and maybe Mourinho looking at Spurs enviously. I think Jurgen Klopp might feel the same way as well, because last week against Stoke, obviously with all the injuries Liverpool have had, he had to field a weakened starting 11, needed Roberto Firmino and Philippe Coutinho to come on at half-time to get the win there. And that's an area where that he'll definitely be looking at in the summer, just to bring in numbers, players that can perform at this level.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Liverpool have had the benefit of no European football this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I mean, Chelsea have had that, obviously, of course, and have taken full advantage of it, and they've not had too many injuries, and they've been able to play more or less the same side every week. You know, Liverpool have had more injuries to contend with. You know, they also lost Mane, obviously recently, but also to the African Cup of Nations for a month or so in January. And I think, you know, we've seen that even without European football, their squad is pretty stretched. So, you know, if they do qualify for the Champions League and the back in that competition next season, they do need to bring in numbers, and not just numbers, quality. People who can obviously, impact the first team. And the problem is Arsenal are looking for that, City are looking for that, and United are all looking for that this summer. And I think Tottenham and Chelsea need less, but obviously they will want quality as well. And it puts a huge amount of pressure on each of those sides, and if anything, will only drive prices up one way. So, you know, in the past, you might be able to get five players in, and you know, it might cost you £100 million. You know, now you want to bring five quality players in, and you're talking £200-250 million. So, it's difficult. Compromises have to be made along the way, and I think Liverpool will. You know, Liverpool's scouting is going to be important this summer. I think, you know, they're going to have to buy well, hopefully try and steal a deal there or there. And I know obviously they're looking at Oxlade-Chamberlain at Arsenal, and Arsenal want £35 million, which is ludicrous. And I think they're never going to get that. But, you know, if Liverpool can get deals like that in and drive the price down, then they should be okay. But, you know, they need more. You know, if they can bring in, they've done very well in the sense of, you know, I mean, Mane costs sort of over £30 million, but has been an excellent signing. Coutinho is 8.5, you know, again, an excellent signing. And Adam Lallana, you know, similarly, you know, early 20s, you know, he's been very good as well. If they can, if around those prices they can get in players of comparable quality, then it'll be a good summer for them. But, you know, it's going to be really, really interesting, because so many of the top teams in this country need to, sort of retool really on quite a large scale.
Let's talk about Manchester United versus Chelsea then, next, James. Manchester United 6-4, the draw 11-5, Chelsea 15-8. I take it you'll be at Old Trafford to watch this one, James?
I'm actually away this weekend.
Are you?
Saturday to Tuesday I'm away. So
okay.
For Easter weekend. But yeah, no, I mean, I struggle to see past Chelsea. They've a full week to prepare. They've got the backlog. I think there's a, you know, they look so fluent. They've got sort of devastating attackers that United just don't have. Really robust, powerful centre, and some outstanding sort of defenders and that. I just think they're too strong in every department for United.
I was debating with a couple of friends this morning about whether Jose Mourinho would field a full-strength side in this, because he's a pragmatist. He knows that the best way to get into the Champions League now is through the Europa League, and they've got that reverse fixture or return leg to come on Thursday. Do you think there's a possibility, any possibility, that he will make significant changes to that Manchester United starting 11 or not?
I think there'll be changes, but the way he was talking last night is, like, as long as the top four remains mathematically possible, then we've got to fight on two fronts. He wants to keep both avenues open. You know, one bad result on Thursday in the Europa League, and they could be out of the competition. So, staking all the chips on that competition might be risky. And if they won on Sunday, it would give their sort of top four hopes a huge sort of shot in the arm. But I think I think you will definitely, if they lose to Chelsea, I think you'll probably see him start to look at the Premier League a little bit differently. I think he knows that he probably can't afford, certainly after dropping points in recent Premier League games, I think he knows he can't afford a defeat. If that happens, I think you might start to see changes. But at the moment, I think there will be some changes on Sunday, but I think we'll be pretty strong. I think he also knows that you just can't really go too weak against Chelsea because there's a danger of being embarrassed there. So, yeah, I mean, he's a pragmatist, as you say, but I think he also, there'll be a degree of pride in facing his old club.
Do you think it will be a draw then? Another draw?
No, I think Chelsea will win.
15-8 Chelsea to win the game. And the weekend finishes with Middlesbrough versus Arsenal. This is Monday night. Middlesbrough 11-2, the draw 16-5. Arsenal are in the betting at 1-2. The exasperation of Arsenal fans is reaching new levels at the moment, James. They've lost the last four away games in the Premier League now, and we keep hearing that the deal for Arsene Wenger to stay at the club for another 2 years is still on the table. And I think this is the season they're going to miss out on the top four as well. You can understand the frustration of Arsenal fans. I can anyway.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've been building this to the situation for a while, haven't we? It's not. This is, you know, I think a lot of Arsenal fans have seen this sort of, have envisaged the club getting to this sort of situation, and there's some who would have liked to change, two or three years ago. I think he's been a sort of a wonderful servant to that club. He's done so much for them. Some of the teams that he sort of presided over have been fantastic to watch. He's a very dignified man. I think there's a huge amount to admire. But sometimes it's time for a change. Sometimes you've run your course and your numbers up, and I think this is the time for the natural sort of parting of ways now. I think it's clear that, you know, there's fans that have lost faith in him, but I'm not entirely sure that the dressing room retain that anymore. Not just the results, it's sort of the manner of defeats now. I think that there's a spineless element to our Arsenal that is very worrying, and they've had a wretched run of results. The Palace defeat was woeful. You know, if they're not beating a Middlesbrough side that just don't really score goals, on Monday, then, you know, the fans will be asking serious questions. I think it's the sort of thing that if they draw or lose against Middlesbrough, you know, you start to wonder, is this the point of no return for Wenger? Obviously, there's a lot of talk that, you know, he could stay for another 2 years, but equally, I think the suggestions of the board and the ownership sort of, you know, rethinking that and wanting to shelve things until the end of the season, sort of conscious of the strength of feeling now that is developing. And, you know, I think there's a real danger that if he stays, you know, of his legacy sort of at that club being tarnished. I think if he left now, he could sort of, he would just about sort of remain intact, really, and would sort of reflect on, you know, and a man who did an awful lot for a club, and the sort of last of his ilk. I mean, you know, Ferguson retired in 2013. You know, we won't see Ferguson and Wenger again in football. It just won't happen. So, I think this is what's painful for a lot of people is, you know, he's sort of more than just a manager, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
he's sort of synonymous with the sort of club, and that does not entitle him to a sort of a permanent job, regardless of how things go. You know, I mean, would a manager who hasn't won the title for 13 years survive at Chelsea or Man City or United? Absolutely no chance. No chance. Mm. So in some respects, he's been lucky to hold on to that job for as long as he has. Equally, Champions League qualification every season, you know, is something that he's delivered. It's a lot easier said than done. But I think now we're finding that our top six is probably more competitive than it's ever been, and finishing the top four, which previously was sort of a given for the likes of Arsenal, it isn't. Spurs and Liverpool have kicked on, and you know, and it is becoming ever tougher. And I think out of those six sides, Arsenal look comfortably the weakest at the moment, and that's including two sort of Manchester sides who punch well below the weight.
Yeah, Ferguson went out on that high, didn't he? And Arsene Wenger, with each passing week, is tarnishing that reputation he's built up for years at Arsenal Football Club. The problem with this game is they're playing Middlesbrough at Arsenal. Anyone else, if they were going to anyone else, you'd be opposing them this week, I think. But they seem to think that 0-0 at home against Burnley last weekend was a good result. They played with zero ambition in that match. I was surprised, astounded actually, with how they approached that game against Burnley. And they look doomed, don't they, Middlesbrough now?
They do. And I mean, if you're approaching that game against Burnley, which was an absolute must win in terms of their hopes of staying up, then, you know, I think that says a lot about where they are. So I think we know exactly how they're going to set up against Arsenal.
Yeah, do you think Arsenal win them?
But a nil-nil for them against Arsenal would be a good result.
Yeah,
The story would all be about Arsenal. You know, I mean, United and City both won there recently. I think they scored twice against Hull, but you know, being very, very few goals scored in recent weeks. I mean, if Arsenal drop points there, you know, it's going to be a difficult night for Wenger.
Arsenal 1-2 to win that game. James, thank you for your company.
Pleasure, Dave.
Always a pleasure speaking to you. If you want to follow James on Twitter, @TelegraphDucker is James's Twitter handle. You can follow myself @DKellner. Check out all the latest Premier League odds by going to williamhill.com, and we'll have more FWA podcast chat next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.